Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
All right, guys, Merry Christmas and welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review here on the WWE Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Michael Ritter, and today we're going to be talking about the SmackDown that aired on December 25th, 2020. This is actually the last SmackDown of the 2020 calendar year, so I'm sure a lot of people are going to be glad to hear that. The next time we do one of these SmackDown reviews, it will be 2021, New Year's Day, actually, so I am definitely looking forward to that. But like I just said, guys, Merry Christmas. I hope that all of you had a great time, whatever it was you chose to do. If you got time off from work to just relax, that's awesome. If you got to spend time with your family, maybe even do a little bit of traveling, I hope that whatever it is that you chose to do, I hope that you had a great holiday season. As for me, as most of you know, I went to Atlanta last weekend. A pretty good trip for the most part. If you watch football or pay attention, then you probably know that the Falcons lost, so we will not really get too far into that. We will leave it at that and just say that, yeah, the trip itself was pretty good. Glad to be back home and doing this on the normal schedule. But tonight's episode, guys, wasn't very noteworthy. I mean, it was a good episode. Most of it was spent in the ring, though. These matches were pretty long. You could tell WWE was really just trying to fill time to get through this episode. So they put a lot of people in matches who have chemistry together and can put on a long match and make it look good. This episode, though, in general, like I alluded to a little bit earlier, there wasn't much to take from it as far as storyline development. Most of you can expect these holiday episodes are not really going to get you anywhere as far as getting further in programs, like most of you know. So you can really just count on some good quality wrestling to get you through this show. And I'm not going to really go too far into detail because it's Christmas, obviously. Not going to have a top five also at the end of the episode. Sorry about that. But I did want to just kind of, you know, I watched SmackDown, so I wanted to make sure to, you know, come in here and record a little bit of something for you guys to at least touch the bases on what happened here on SmackDown to keep the streak going, obviously, and just to give you guys a little bit of something. I mean, I don't know, you guys might be doing something on Saturday where you need something to listen to. So if you're in the routine of listening to the show on Saturday, I do not want to be the one to prevent you from continuing that. So I'm going to do the best I can to get you through this episode, but just a little bit of pre-warning. There really wasn't too much that happened other than the actual action inside of the ring, but we will cover each segment that happened here on the SmackDown Review, and that is coming up right now. And the night begins with a Universal Championship rematch with Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns in a steel cage for the Universal Championship. The first thing I wrote down here in my notes is how noticeable it is that Roman Reigns is in great shape. I probably alluded to it before, but man, every time he comes out, you can just tell that he is in the best shape of his WWE career, and it's only right that it goes hand in hand with his best run and his best gimmick in his WWE career. So everything is lining up for Roman Reigns to have a nice little run here, but this match itself was pretty long. Like I said earlier, a lot of these matches took up a pretty big chunk of time, but the physicality lived up to be worthy of a steel cage setting. Kevin Owens had a nice fisherman buster spot, but Owens comes oh so close to escaping the cage door before Jey Uso grabs the door and gives Reigns enough time to get Owens and drag him back into the ring. But as Owens gets the upper hand on the champion, he tries to crawl his way to the cage door again, but Jey Uso actually handcuffs him to the cage, and Roman Reigns just simply walks out to retain his Universal Championship. That match was explained pretty quickly, but it actually took up 39 minutes when you include commercial breaks, so over one-fourth of the show dedicated to this one match, and it certainly delivered. Like I said, it was very physical. These two have a lot of chemistry together. The two championship matches they had in a five-day span show the chemistry that they have is actually next level. And I could have definitely watched them fight all night long. But where do they go from here? I could see them continuing this program with Owens just a little bit longer because of the chemistry they have. So I could see them trying to work a little bit closer to Royal Rumble. But with it being 5.5, 6 weeks away, you have to expect a new challenger to come into the picture at some point with Roman Reigns. Possibly Daniel Bryan. I've heard people rumor that. Also, obviously, Goldberg's name has been brought up. But it's hard for me to picture them simply staying with Kevin Owens for the entire month of January to get us to the Royal Rumble. So we will have to pay attention in the coming weeks to see if a new challenger emerges or if Roman Reigns chooses to go after somebody else with Jey Uso and maybe put the target on somebody else's back. But with things that happen a little bit later in the show, it does sort of make me believe that possibly Daniel Bryan might be next on the big dog's list. And moving on here, we get a triple threat elimination match for the Women's Tag Team Championship. So two straight wrestling matches to start the show. No promos, no people talking in the ring. Just strictly straight to business. And I don't know about you, but I could really get used to that because it was nice to see them start the show just strictly with Roman Reigns come out. That match happened and then immediately followed by another match. But this one was, like I said, a triple threat elimination match for the Women's Tag Team Championships with Charlotte and Asuka, who are obviously the champions, and they take on Sasha and Bianca Belair and Bayley and Carmella. This is their first title defense as a team. And Charlotte is having a pre-match promo, but she gets interrupted by Bayley, who says that despite 2020 being a terrible year for everyone else in the world, it was pretty good for her, and she proceeds to name off some of her recent accomplishments until she's interrupted by Sasha, who takes a quick jab about being the current SmackDown Women's Champion, and Bayley and Carmella also come out to put their two cents in before commercial break. And after commercial break, we get Bayley and Charlotte to start the match, and the first thing I noticed in this is, holy crap, there was some legit talent in this match. Five out of the six competitors were all either former or current women's champions. And then during the match, I seen Charlotte and Bianca kind of have a little bit of a face-off, and I couldn't help but wonder if that was a WrestleMania preview, maybe even as soon as this year. We'll probably get into that a little bit closer to WrestleMania season, but I don't know, just something about that. I mean, that matchup itself, I feel like we were definitely spoiled a little bit getting to see them face off this early and on SmackDown on Christmas. So I will take that good match as somewhat of a gift from WWE. But that is a matchup that I could definitely see headlining a WrestleMania someday. So keep that in mind. But this was another long match. The first elimination comes after about 10 to 15 minutes when Sasha pins Bayley. And then Charlotte hits natural selection on Bianca to win the match. But this was still a great showing from Bianca Belair. I don't think they'd go this direction anytime soon, but Sasha and Bianca would actually be a pretty dominant tag team in that division. I did reference a couple weeks ago that we could see the Women's Tag Team Champions make an appearance on SmackDown soon. At the time, it was Nia and Shayna, but obviously, the point still stands. I knew it was time for the Blue Brand to get a little bit of action with those belts, so hopefully we can maybe get Asuka and Charlotte, to stay over on the Blue Brand for most of January, although that might be pretty difficult with Asuka being the Raw Women's Champion, although we've seen crazier things happen. Also, the Riot Squad is another team to keep an eye on in the tag team division as we get into 2021. So, if those belts do stay on SmackDown for the near future, I could expect the Riot Squad, who were shown watching backstage, to get at least one shot. Probably won't go over and take the belts from them unless that itself is going to be what starts maybe Asuka and Charlotte not seeing eye to eye. That could be the thing that triggers it all, maybe losing to the Riot Squad or one of these tag teams that they're going to be giving a shot to every week. But I know that the Riot Squad is certainly a team that is worthy of a title shot, and they're probably going to get it in the very near future. And moving on here, we get our weekly dose of Sami Zayn complaining to a random employee backstage. This time, it is a social media worker, and Sami claims that they are somewhat responsible for his match being changed to a lumberjack match. the Street Profits, who are shown kind of giggling in the background, they tell Sammy to calm down and say that they have a gift for him. And inside of a Christmas-themed gift box was Sammy's new shirt that he's been wearing that says that I am the Intercontinental Champion. Except on the Street Profits shirt, it says, with the part where it says I am has a piece of tape on it, and it says I was the Intercontinental Champion, referring to past tense, obviously. And that only makes Sami Zayn more pissed off, and he walks away. So that kind of just lets you know that Sami Zayn is not in a great mood, and his night does not get any better. We will get to that a little bit later, but moving on, we get Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso, a match that has happened on SmackDown in the recent months multiple times. It's main evented SmackDown and always delivered. These two are pretty good in the ring together. So we can expect that tonight, except Jey Uso actually attacks Daniel Bryan from behind while he's making his way to the ring. And the officials try to convince Daniel to not go on with the match, but he refuses and the bell rings and the match goes on as planned. Jey wastes no time and immediately throws Daniel out of the ring and starts to lay a beating on him. Uso goes on to dominate a big chunk of the first part of the match, but Daniel Bryan does eventually find his way back in to make it interesting. And Jey Uso actually injures his left leg during the match, and Daniel Bryan makes sure to target that to make it worse. And it does eventually affect Jey Uso's offensive attack, as he's a known high flyer. So the injury puts him at a disadvantage against a guy you really don't want to know when you're at a disadvantage. So despite getting cheap shotted before the match, Daniel Bryan uses a running knee strike to pick up the win. And I can only imagine that we'll be hearing from Roman Reigns and his reaction to that defeat next week on SmackDown. And I don't expect him to be very happy with Jey Uso. So the new year might be starting off pretty bad if you're Jey Uso, because he did have the cheap shot in this match and still managed to lose. Although he did lay a pretty bad beating on Daniel Bryan, Daniel Bryan just managed to take it and deliver just enough back to pull out the win. So Daniel Bryan, like I alluded to earlier, he is a guy who is probably only just getting started with this Roman Reigns deal. In fact, he might actually earn his opportunity at that Universal Championship a different way, because next we get the backstage interview with Daniel Bryan and Caleb Braxton. Not really a whole lot here other than Daniel Bryan announces his entry into the Royal Rumble, and that's actually pretty dang important because that actually felt good. Hearing him do that, just, I don't know, something about me hearing someone mention the Royal Rumble on live TV tells you that it's officially Royal Rumble season. Michael Cole actually alludes to it right after that, so I mean, that just, the Royal Rumble always gets me excited. I mean, as far as me going to wrestling events in person, I've really only been to live events or house shows here in the Texas Panhandle area. Except for one time, me and a couple buddies actually drove down to San Antonio, Texas in 2017 for the Royal Rumble whenever it was there. So that's my first actual, or the only actual legit wrestling show that I went to that wasn't just, you know, a live event where titles usually don't change hands or anything like that. So actually getting to go to a Royal Rumble is pretty awesome. If you guys haven't done it, it's definitely bucket list material. Just, I mean, being able to be part of that 10-second countdown every time someone comes out. Although I will say, it's kind of disappointing. This is kind of off topic a little bit, but whenever it comes to the Royal Rumble itself, whenever you only get 30 entries, is it not pretty annoying whenever you get all three members or four members of a certain tag team? Like, I'll use the New Day, for example. That, I remember specifically being in San Antonio and seeing the crowd just kind of get sad whenever each individual member of the New Day was getting introduced. And I'm not trying to take a shot at the New Day at all, but it's just one of those things where back in my heyday of being a wrestling fan, whenever the Royal Rumble actually meant a lot, those 30 spots were pretty important. There were no, I mean, like Daniel Bryan just did, kind of just qualified for the match. There really wasn't a whole lot of that. I mean, from what I can remember, it was 15 spots on Raw, 15 spots on SmackDown, and there were qualifying matches every week leading up. I mean, especially with what they got right now, what is it, 6 weeks before the Royal Rumble pay-per-view? That's plenty of time to, you know, build up these spots, make them seem like they're worth something. I mean, because it is the freaking Royal Rumble, so this is just something that I feel like they can really take advantage of if they wanted to make these spots worth something. And even that number 30 spot, Like I said back in November, they should have made the winning team of Survivor Series get that number 30 spot and then go from there building storylines basically on that specific show, saying, all right, well, this show has the number 30 spot, so who wants it? We're going to have a tournament or something along those lines to basically make it worth something. Although I do, while I say that, on the other end of the stick, I do like that number 30 being a mystery, but that can also backfire if we're expecting somebody big or something and then it ends up being somebody who Vince McMahon is excited about and only Vince McMahon. I have seen that happen before. But Daniel Bryan does say in his interview, getting back on to SmackDown a little bit here, he does say that he's never won the Royal Rumble and that is the one thing that he does want to do. So if he does win it, you can assume that he will challenge Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan does certainly have a chance to win it. But this is a Royal Rumble where I'm kind of, I mean, definitely not to toot my own horn whatsoever, but I have predicted a couple in the past couple years, Shinsuke Nakamura and Seth Rollins. I did predict both of those guys to win the Royal Rumble. Obviously, I wasn't on the show here. I didn't put it on record or anything like that. It's just one of those things where you have a good feeling about it, and when it happens, you definitely remember. This year, I really have no idea. I mean, I've already said back in October that Bianca is my women's Royal Rumble pick, and I am going to stick by that for now. But as far as the men's side goes, I really have no idea. Good thing we're not supposed to make any predictions yet, or not required to make any predictions yet for a pretty long time. So I am definitely going to let some things unfold on the men's side before I start leaning one way or the other. But that's pretty much it as far as the Royal Rumble goes. I mean, they didn't really reference it any other time. You could probably expect them to get more into it as the weeks go. So right now, there's only 29 spots left because Daniel Bryan has taken that first spot. And now on to the main event, the third championship match of the night. God, that's actually pretty crazy that we had three championship matches in one night. But this was the third one for the Intercontinental Championship. And this was a lumberjack match between Sami Zayn and Big E. Not too many noteworthy things from this match as far as a wrestling standpoint. I mean, this is just your typical lumberjack match where eventually chaos erupted. Sami does have a nice sunset powerbomb, though. I like that spot, and it looked like a pretty rough bump for Big E to take. But Big E does end up winning the Intercontinental Championship with the big ending, which is still the weakest finishing move, in my opinion. I'm sorry. Just, I need to see Big E hit a different move. I mean, imagine if he wins at WrestleMania, the Universal Championship, using that move. I mean, I can't picture anything else happening with Big E worse than that. But nonetheless, he does win with the big ending. And here we go, guys. I mean, hopefully this is the start of something big for Big E. He finishes 2020 with a championship victory, his breakout singles victory. Confetti falls as Big E's lifted up on the wrestler's shoulders in celebration. And you could sign me up for a lengthy Big E Intercontinental Championship run, although this might affect his odds to win the Royal Rumble. That's okay, though. In my opinion, there's still plenty of time. No need to skyrocket Big E to the top overnight. Just let him establish himself as a legitimate single star first, and then we can get to all that stuff. I think the Intercontinental Championship picture is a great spot for him right now. I think he can definitely go on a nice little run here, string together some wins, and basically just make himself that dominant force that we all know he can be. So I think this was definitely the first step, a big step in the right direction, and really the only big thing that came from this entire episode of SmackDown. So as soon as you found out that it was the main event, if you didn't look at any spoilers, you knew that the title was probably going to change hands and Big E was going to go over. I'm certainly glad he did. We'll see what happens with Sami Zayn here. Obviously, he's definitely going to get a rematch next week or maybe further. I expect it to happen next week, though. So that's going to be something that we see if it gets announced throughout the week on social media. But that should about do it for me here on this SmackDown review. Once again, guys, I'm super sorry. That is a quick episode. It's kind of more like one of those quick hits episodes that Matt used to do, kind of whenever he was on vacation. You kind of look at it like that, although I'm not on vacation. It's just Christmas, so I'm going to get back to enjoying some time off and spending it with some family. Still got a couple days off, so I'm going to definitely enjoy that. But I wanted to give you guys my quick thoughts and this quick review of SmackDown. So I definitely appreciate you guys listening. Once again, Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and I hope that everything you wished for Christmas was sitting under the tree, and if not, there's always next year. But once again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you all have a great week. I'll talk to you next week.